Finance Committee on Senate Bill 816, Monday, June 25th, 2007, 12:30 p.m. here in Room A.
On Senate Bill 816, this is a little bit of a follow-up to 3201. One piece that wasn't included is included in the first dash amendment that the committee has, which is the dash A5, which would sunset the increase that the legislature might approve in the college savings plan in 2016. Mr. Treasurer, you wanted to address us on that issue.
Good afternoon, members. For the record, my name is Randall Edwards, State Treasurer of Oregon. I appreciate your taking a couple of comments from me about Senate Bill 816 as amended, which puts a sunset on a change which is in 3201, which is to increase the deduction in 529 college savings in Oregon from 2,000 to 4,000, which we appreciate this committee's support, or members of this committee's support for that increase. The sunset was a new provision that was never contemplated when we were talking about this increase, and hence this bill is before you, in which I wanted to comment on. I'm personally concerned about putting a sunset on the 529 of any length, and that really goes to an experience I had as treasurer looking to take a sunset off on a federal tax change that initially had all earnings under 529 across the country. Remember, every state has a 529 program. The federal government put a 10-year sunset on the capital gains tax on that program. And the experience we had here in Oregon as well as across the country was, as that deadline approached, there was more and more confusion about the tax benefit under the 529. So many of us worked very hard to get Congress to lift that off. We were successful last summer, and that tax benefit is now made permanent. The challenge with having a sunset on this program really is in terms of administering the program. That is, remember, the 529 college savings investments are marketed to the general public in Oregon. And because it is a security registered with the federal government, we have to disclose all aspects of this program to the investing public, including a sunset. So when we had the sunset on in the federal, when the federal government had their sunset on, it was very difficult in explaining to the general public what did that mean from an investor's point of view. And again, what I'm trying to do is, since we just got that lifted, is to keep this program as clean as possible in administering it and not have further disclosure that would say, and by a certain date there might be a sunset on this tax benefit. People typically make investment decisions in the 529 for a long term, for a long period of time. So each year we get new investors, we have current investors, they make those decisions in putting money here. Mm-hmm. I think we've been very successful in marketing and explaining this program. Okay. We're now up to over $900 million in the program. It currently has a $2,000 deduction. The argument we're making policy-wise why we wanted to go from 2 to 4 was primarily around a marriage penalty. That is, if married couples filed jointly, they could only take a $2,000 deduction. If they filed singly, they could only take a $1,000 deduction. We're trying to say, in all fairness, let's make that $4,000 for a joint filer, and hence that's really what we're doing. We're not changing or adding to a new tax policy. We've already had this in place. We're trying to change a glitch, if you will, with married couples who are filing jointly to give them the full benefit of investing in the 529.
Senator Butler, or Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Treasurer Edwards, it's my understanding that with the current language that we have put in another bill, and what we would be, what's proposed here today, that we insert back into 816 with the dash A5 amendment, would be that what we would be doing is we would be making the $2,000 and $4,000 different than the $1,000, $2,000, the current allowance. And that the current allowance continues on, but we would be sunsetting the change. So really what we've got is either we sunset the whole thing, which creates a bonding problem for you, and a Reg A problem for you, or we don't sunset the whole thing, which then gives you the latitude to basically connect to federal and go from there.
Correct. That's correct.
Okay.
And I want to also say for the record that no other state that has a deduction has a sunset on their deductions. We looked that up, and I think, how many states, Michael?
32 states.
32 states have a deduction they offered their investors, and none of them have a sunset.
So how did the federal, that you were successful in getting Congress to repeal, how did that manifest itself in terms of having a sunset on it and the difficulty of explaining that?
As I said, when we go out in the marketplace and either market this product or have paperwork, you have to disclose all aspects of it. So when we were out doing radio ads, for example, trying to promote, looking at this as an investment, there's a disclosure, as you, like a lot of political campaigns, you have to disclose who paid for that ad. In this case, you have to disclose all the risks potentially inherent in that investment, and including this tax deduction, or in this case, a tax change that would sunset at a certain date. And that disclosure took up so much time in the radio ad. We pulled the radio ads because it made no sense. A minute ad had over 30 seconds of disclosure, which we've got that compressed down now with the feds gone. This would require us to put it back on.
Okay. Other questions? Senator Burke.
So, as I understand it, the sunset would apply to the changes in the law, but the earnings of the investment would still continue to accumulate tax-free.
Correct. Federal and state. Correct.
So basically, with investors, you're saying if the sunset stays in, you're saying you'll still get a tax break that may not be as sweet after this certain year.
Mr. Chairs, I guess, Senator Burdick, that's true, but what happens is people start to try to figure out, well, what does that mean for me putting money out there or investing in this plan? Even though you have a sunset, and again, it could be the will of the legislature, they may not put it back in, which case an investor may say, well, I want to go do something else. It starts to create some uncertainty about the investment you're making. Again, people are making, we hope, are making investments from, you know, day of birth for 18 years. In this case, if you put in, as is written, 4 years, I mean, it's an arbitrary date. And furthermore, any date would create, again, an uncertainty about a change in the tax policy. Anytime, again, this is an investment that is voluntarily made by the general public. We market it to the general public. We're under certain federal requirements of disclosing aspects of this program. This would be one of them. That's not there.
To follow up, I think it's reasonable to take the sunset out personally, but as an investor in this fund, which I am, you're basically telling people that, you know, you've got these certain ground rules and a certain tax credit now, but even if they did decide to go somewhere else after the tax credit for that amount of money, they've still gotten the tax credit, they've still gotten the earnings.
Correct.
That are, you know, you guys do a good job investing, and the earnings are still tax-free. So I guess I don't understand how the magnitude of the risk in terms of losing investors. I would think it would still be a good idea for people to invest, even if they thought that in the future the tax deduction, or the tax deduction wouldn't be quite as sweet.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, if I may, for the record, Michael Parker, the director of the program. Senator Burdick, you're correct. We think that yes, they're still getting that $4,000 during the time period that they're investing. Again, as the treasurer, it's really a two-pronged approach. One of our biggest problems with a sunset is just the amount of explaining we have to do legally in an advertisement. So take a scenario. If I was to do a 30-second TV ad or a 60-second radio ad, I'm looking at potentially 30 seconds of disclosure in a radio ad, I don't have enough time to explain the product. Similarly, in a TV ad, we're so bound by the SEC, the MSRB, the NASD, those are all federal regulation agencies, watch what everything that we do. If I was to add this disclosure piece on there, it really detracts and almost diminishes my ability to market the program to Oregonians. It's very, very difficult. By removing the federal sunset, really free us up now to say we can actually get a message out to folks about what this program means and how they could benefit from it. By adding this disclosure, which we feel is unnecessary, hampers that ability to a degree that we're spending large amounts of money to advertise, that those dollars are going to be somewhat wasted because it's just too much disclosure.
That's really what it boils down to. It's just the amount of disclosure.
Really, very, very, because we're just bound by these federal rules. Our program is tied to the federal, to the tax code, so we're bound by these federal rules.
All you'd have to follow up, Mr. Chair, all you'd have to say is, it seems to me, is you get a tax credit of $1,000, and through 2012 or 2016, you get a tax credit of $4,000 if you're married.
For the record, it's a deduction off your taxable income.
Sorry,
it's about $150 per filer.
Mr. Chair, Senator Burdick, it does seem quite simple. I've been doing this for 7 years now. I'm amazed by what compliance attorneys will make you do. I have had that same argument with compliance attorneys, and they say, well, if you want to put the ad on the air, you'll do it this way, and they're not short in their language. Everything is very, very documented because they get regulated then by these federal agencies. So we have literally had arguments over two or three words because two or three words make up two or three, 4 seconds. And it's not a part of a job that I love, but we're trying to make sure that we get the message out. So I don't disagree with you, but really two or three, 4 seconds makes a huge difference in a 30-second TV ad.
I'm represented by Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a couple of comments. The first comment is that I think as an aspect of the administration of the tax policies of the state of Oregon, that the two revenue committees are responsible for. It's been our policy, and I think it will continue to be our policy, to add sunsets to tax deductions and tax credits, simply because of the unbalanced system we use now for dealing with taxation in the legislature. To repeal a tax credit or a tax deduction requires a 3/5 vote in most cases. To add one requires a simple majority. So as a practical matter of administration of our system, we have to add sunsets. The second comment I would make, Mr. Chair, is that I don't see that this sunset is necessarily a bug. It might in fact be a feature, because the fact is that we're giving people several years, I think 8 years if the amendment passes, within which to get a double deduction. After that time, the deduction may go back to a single deduction. They ought to get in fast. And I support the A5 amendment, and if the time comes, I'll move that.
Okay. Mr. Chair, with all due respect to my colleague from the House, I completely disagree. I think this program is one where you hope that you have individuals, families that invest in this program for 18 years or as long as they have children before they go to school. You know, to put an arbitrary sunset on this particular program deduction makes absolutely no sense whatsoever, and I think that based on the testimony from the treasurers and treasurer's office, I think it makes no sense. And to quote the treasurer, I'm not even going to say the word right now. I had it in my head. Maniacal, that was the word. Maniacal adherence.
Me that said maniacal.
Well, okay, it was you. Maniacal adherence to a sunset idea that we have to sunset every tax credit and every tax deduction, I think is ridiculous. We ought to address these on a case-by-case basis, and this one We're talking about families investing for their college, for their kids' college education. That's not a 5-year, 6-year, 10-year program. That's a depending on how many children you have, that's a 18 to, you know, 30-year program. And I'm not going to support the A5 amendments. I would support a motion that remove the House amendments and put the bill back in a form that makes sense for the families here in the state of Oregon, and provides our treasurer and his staff the ability to market this program, an effective program, an important program.
Anything you disagree with there?
No.
Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One other item does rather concern me, and that is that all states around Oregon have these college saving programs. My concern is that the federal law presently provides for a higher deductible amount, is my understanding. That being the case, their advertising, if they're linked with it, without, as you say, no other states have such sunset provisions, their advertising will encourage people to basically come to their side of the river or come to their side of the state line, even though for Oregon purposes we would have a sunset, their ads wouldn't carry all the disclosures and disclaimers like our ads would have to do. My concern is then, do we have problems in the city of Ashland, the city of Portland, in the Tri-Cities area of Washington and across the river in Oregon, with those states then advertising, and folks say, wait a minute, it sounds like the Oregon 529 program is more restrictive, not recognizing that it has everything to do with state law as opposed to where you're, and just to where you're investing. Could that be a problem, or am I trying to make a problem where there wouldn't be one?
Mr. Chair, Representative Butler, I don't know how much problem that would be, although I will go as far as say I think it's a problem in the entire state, because when someone is going to look at this program, they're going to see this word, what, sunsets, and I don't know what they're going to be confused. I guarantee you they will be confused on their investment. We're asking them to put their personal money in. They're going to look at that, and they're going to be confused. It won't just be on the fringes of the state. It will be the entire state. They're going to say, I don't understand that. Why can't I get the benefit for my kid who's one when he's 18? That's the question that they're going to ask.
So what your basic position is, then, that any kind of a sunset may cause people to be concerned about the fact that the Oregon plan is so much different than what the 529 for federal is, that after a few years, it may not even qualify for what they were originally investing in?
No. The program, unless the legislature changes the law, would always qualify under 529. What I am saying is that any sort of additional restriction or confusion that the state puts on it will confuse an investor. Great. Anything else that we ought to get on the record in terms of the -5 amendments? Thank you. And so the treasurer's position, if we adopted the -5s, you would thank us for doing House Bill 3201 and be included in that, but then also petition, or at least have a conversation with the governor about the core objections that you have with,
correct,
with Senate Bill 816.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair. Thanks. Well, with that, does anyone else want to testify on their amendments to Senate Bill 816? You do. You would like to.
Chair Decker, members of the committee, I'm Alex Kyler, here today. Actually, I'm the immediate past chair of the Association of Oregon Recyclers, so what I'm here to talk to you today about is a short amendment that we've been shopping around, which is to bring back the reclaimed plastics product tax credit. This is a an initially was designed, in fact, when the bottle bill passed the first time, to help people gear up for processing plastic that would be collected through that system. And then it sunset in 1999, so the amendment before you simply changes the sunset to 2012.
Is this Representative Berger's amendment?
This is Representative Berger's amendment.
And did she delay the start date on this?
She was unable to get that done because of the previous conversation you just had, which seems to, and I'll say the exact same thing, is that if this is the inappropriate vehicle for this because it's going to go away, then we should probably not even, you know, just end the conversation here. But there's a... She's got a great desire to see if we can get this in place, and it would. There are several businesses that are looking at making investments in plastics recycling, given what has been accomplished by this session. So I don't really want to throw a wrench in your works, but this seems like we have a window of opportunity here. And for, you know, technical questions, we've got what she suggested was if there's a way to, put into place that it would be delayed until 2009, there's a term for that, then that may, and we don't, I mean, that's
as a good conceptual amendment.
We don't delay tax credits to avoid the fiscal, but there's probably a larger issue at play.
Yeah,
but that was like the first barrier.
Yeah.
Other testimony or other?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Mr. Burdick.
I'm just wondering why this is coming so late.
Well, Chair Decker and Senator Burdick, we had this language was part of House Bill 3500, and that appears to not be moving. We had an amendment for the other bill that Senator Decker worked on, 3021. Unfortunately, I had to be in Portland and couldn't testify on that bill, so I missed that opportunity. That was my fault. That's the only reason for it.
That's a mouse. Yeah,
okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
I'm Greg Aldridge, Government Relations Manager for the Department of Environmental Quality. I'm just here to say if this were to come back to life, we were there to process them. The statute's still in place, except for the sunset date, and the rules are in place, the fees are in place. So if the day were to be changed and it came back to life, we could certainly process it.
Thank you. Thanks for coming to our conference committee. It's one of the last ones we'll have for this year.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Anyone else on Senate Bill 816?
Chair.
Representative Butler.
Mr. Chair, we've each been handed a set of amendments called SB 816-2, which I understand has not been updated for the A engrossed version, which Representative Paul Hovey felt was very strongly about asking that the top layer of the intertie, which could perhaps become part of this bill that we're working on now, the A amendments, 816-2 amendments, which you have before you, were basically, if you look at page 2, ask that for an exemption on line 15 on the tangible and intangible and the property rights related to the Northwest AC intertie. This would affect those public PUDs and a few other folks that did not get exempted when we were working in Senate Bill 31. Just 2 short years ago, Senator Decker. So, Representative Hovey felt very strongly this affects his district. It affects many districts in Oregon, but it certainly was something that he felt strongly about. Asked that I advocate on behalf of what are presently the A2. It's they're in LC right now, getting the A put back into the A2, but it will be probably the dash six amendment, I think.
Okay. Thank you. Questions for Representative Butler? Okay. Well, let's recess for 10 minutes and convene back here at 1:10. We're going to close the work session on Senate Bill 816. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, I'm really sorry.
Whether or not.
It could be one or two.